Hey, this is Evan Longoria of your San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
People will come, Ray. They'll come to Iowa for reasons they can't even fathom. They'll turn up your driveway, not knowing for sure why they're doing it. They'll arrive at your door as innocent as children, longing for the past. Of course, we won't mind if you look around, you'll say. It's only $20 per person. They'll pass over the money without even thinking about it. It is money they have and peace they like.
Ray, just sign the papers.
And they'll walk out to the bleachers. Sit in shirt sleeves on a perfect afternoon. They'll find they have reserved seats somewhere along one of the baselines. Where they sat when they were children and cheered their heroes. And they'll watch the game. It'll be as if they dipped themselves in magic waters. The memories will be so thick, they'll have to brush them away from their faces.
Ray, when the bank opens in the morning, they'll foreclose.
People will come, Ray.
You're broke, Ray. You sell now or you lose everything.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, is a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good, and it could be again. Oh, people will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
Oh, it gives me chills every time, everybody. It is March 30th, 2021, and this is episode 2000. I'm just kidding. 218 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Man, that clip gets me every time. Welcome to our annual season preview. We have a couple of guys joining me, obviously. As normal, we have Eric Nathanson. How you doing, Eric? Oh, he's muted.
Hey, Chad. Sorry, I was sharing the video. Hey, Chad. Sorry about that. Glad to be.
He was speechless.
I'm glad the season's here.
Mm-hmm. He was speechless, and then of course
he was wiping memories away from his face,
brushing away. They're so thick, brushing away from his face.
Wait,
and that other voice you hear.
What am I doing here?
What are we doing? We're talking. It's a movie watch, right? And then the OG founder of the TortureCast, one Willie Dills Gregory. What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Doing real good. Got up early today to go make my tea time for the MGA season, which is also forthcoming. We start on Sunday, the 4th, but baseball starts on the 1st. So got a busy weekend in front of me.
Hell yeah. My God, golf. That's something I need to get back into. Now, the thing is, down in Austin, right? I mean, COVID didn't really shut anything down as far as golf, did it? Maybe just for a little bit?
Well, you know, actually, nationally, golf has had a huge resurgence because of COVID. Because people couldn't do other stuff. So people started to take up golf. It's like the one thing you could do outside. And, you know, you don't have to touch anybody to play. Yeah, so it's the least contact sport there is.
I mean, you don't touch anyone when you play golf, but speak for yourself.
I barely touch the ball when I play golf, so yeah.
I'm usually touching ivy and trees and water.
Touch a lot of beer when I play golf.
A lot of beer. All right. Well, this is our annual season preview episode. We do have opening day coming here in about 48 hours. The Giants will be in Seattle for a 3-game series. So we're here to kind of wrap up spring training and kind of preview the season, what we expect, our predictions, zany things that might happen, our hopes, our dreams that are probably most readily going to be crushed by the All-Star break. But that's okay. We're here to talk about it. We're Giants fans. We're here for the ups and downs. So I'd say we just started off, first of all, by saying that we are recording live or streaming live again on Facebook Live. You can join us normally every Monday around 12:15 Pacific. Today we had a shift to Tuesday. But throughout the season, you can rely on us mostly going on Mondays. Of course, you can find our podcast on your favorite podcast feed or at our website, torchcast.com. All right, well, the Giants wrapped up spring training with an 11-12 record. I don't think anyone really cares about that, especially with the weird rules they had in place, which Eric and I have talked about ad nauseum. But I will say that at times the Giants looked really good, and they seemed like, especially in the latter half of spring training, they were putting runs on the board. And, you know, last year's offense wasn't too shabby as well. So I don't know. I guess my first question to you guys is from the offensive side of things. I mean, what are your expectations? Do you think they're going to be kind of middle of the pack in terms of run production in the National League? Do you think they're going to be above average? What are your expectations?
I think they're going to be at the top of the pack in the National League.
I was going to say above average for sure.
Yeah, they moved from, like, I was listening to some podcast the other day, and the guy listed off their, like, OPS and runs created was, like, last, second to last, last. And then all of a sudden it jumped up to fourth best or something in the National League last year.
Yeah.
So I expect this offense to click. That was the most pleasant surprise, I think, coming out of spring, is how well these guys are hitting. Like, it was nice to see the pitching step up and do well right away, but these guys are mashing the ball right now. Like, I feel like we can expect 6 to 7 runs just about every night coming out.
Yeah, and I think the good news for us is that the core guys, the middle of the lineup, is not relying as heavily on, like, Buster Posey anymore. We've proven that we can do it, whether he's, you know, and like, he may come back and be a surprise, honestly, because a year off on his catcher's legs, you know, if he does anything at all close to what he's capable of, which I don't expect, but if it is anything at all, and obviously, like, a guy like Crawford and Belt are going to be really important as well, but we don't need those guys to carry the bulk of our production anymore. The rest of the guys that we have in that lineup, it's like those guys can be like 7, 8, 9 when we're playing in the AL, you know what I mean? And it's fine. Everybody else can pick up the slack. So it's nice not to have to rely on people on the wrong side of 35 right now.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's interesting. I actually heard that the Giants still have one of their oldest rosters they've had.
Yeah,
in a long
our
time.
Infield is hella old.
Yeah, I know, right? I know that's ending soon, right? That is sure. Ending soon. We're going to have a lot of contracts probably off the board next year. We're suddenly going to get a hell of a lot younger. But yeah, that said, I mean, I think you're right. I'm not having to rely on guys like Posey or in the past some of their super lineups with, you know, Bonds and Kent and Burks and all these guys. It seems like, you know, you have these budding stars like Yaz and others, but even these plugins like, you know, Donnie Barrels and Flores, you know, hitting bombs at a career high at Oracle Park. You get these, you know, nice complement of these guys coming in, and that's partially a testament to their work ethic, but partially a testament to, you know, Farhan seeing potential, I'd say, in these guys, and that's what he's known for. And it does seem like offensively it's coming together, which is great.
I'm excited for, like, a guy like Slater as well, who's shown some serious potential. It's just, can he be consistent? I don't know. We don't know that yet.
Well, I mean, you got to give a tip of the cap to the coaching staff as well, because they've managed to cultivate these guys that you mentioned Farhan has identified. And if we didn't see some improvement in guys like, I mean, because like guys like Donovan Solano, like, where was he? He was a AAA with the Marlins. He couldn't even catch on with the Marlins. And here he is, you know, a right-handed, could challenge for the batting title this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gives some credit to Kapler and his coaches. And I'm very shocked to hear myself say that.
And also, what's the story with right field? We're still going to have everything shut down there, right? So, the situation hitting in, what are we calling it these days? The situation hitting in our ballpark is a lot better than it ever has been. So, yeah, I don't see how we're going to be anything but above average offensively.
Yeah, that's true. This will be the first full season with the shortened center field area. So, mm-hmm. you know,
well, and also just the close down. I mean, I'm guessing we're still going to be shutting the doors, right, in the free area, which was a huge deal.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't imagine they're going to suddenly open that up. I mean, COVID's not a done deal by any stretch. So, I'm hoping that by the time, you know, because I'm close to getting my vaccination, my mom is actually coming to visit soon. I'm thinking I might be able to see some games this year.
Absolutely. I mean, I got my first shot on last Thursday, which is great. All right. So I'll get my second one in, you know, I think April 15th or so. So I'll be like, quote, fully vaccinated by the end of April, beginning of May. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, you know, last year I covered, I think, 5 games when there were no fans and they had really strict policies in place. This year, it'll be interesting to see what happens because they are going to allow fans, what, 8,000 or something like that per game to start anyway. But as far as media is concerned, I know we're still not going to have access to the players. But I wonder if they're going to ease up a little bit, like, you know, you guys can go down for batting practice, but only stay in this pod. But I doubt that. I doubt they're going to expand. But throughout the season, though, if, you know, we already, I'm not trying to get, you know, political on this show, but we already see cases ticking up nationally 10% mm-hmm. over the last week, probably because a lot of these states are starting to relax their restrictions too early and people are going out. Yeah.
Yeah. And people it's just not even partying. That. Like in Austin here, what happened is, you know, Texas basically just got rid of all restrictions. That didn't mean that suddenly everybody started going out, but it did mean that there was a healthy percentage of people who I've noticed just kind of think it's over now. Well, the governor said it was. So, yeah. So I guess, yeah, that's the worry is that, you know, that doesn't happen. But I don't know. It's like I'm feeling real hopeful right now about this. Like things, the fact that we're going to try to play 162 games. Oh, my God. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
I get to watch baseball every day again. This is
Well, and players are starting to get vaccinated too. In fact, the Astros are flying from Florida to Oakland for their opener, but they're stopping in Houston for vaccinations. To get,
like, everybody vaccinated, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And also really the league is apparently offering incentives for that. So if you get over like a certain percentage or whatever the team, they release some of the stuff for you, so it becomes a little easier. So obviously all the teams are going to do that, right? Yeah. The less restrictions, the better for them.
Heck yeah. And I wonder because
– or something like that.
I think they were shooting for 85%. I know that there are some players and some wives of players, families of players that have already been vocal on social media saying they're not going to get the vaccine. And I wonder, you know, again, if they hit 85% and, you know, 2 out of 10 guys don't want to get it, then that's the way it rolls. But it is interesting, just the different perspective on health from some of these guys. But
yeah, no, we'll figure out who those guys are when they don't, you know, kneel for the anthem or whatever on opening day, or we'll go check and see if they're following Aubrey Huff on Twitter, and then we'll know.
I'm not getting my Fauci ouchie, right?
The Fauci ouchie. I have not heard that ouchie, yet.
Yeah. Wow.
All right. That's a good one.
What did they announce a couple of days ago? Elio Ramos. I always mispronounce his name. I've heard it Elio and Elliot and Elliot.
I like Helio, but you know, I know Helio. They don't usually say the H, but still, yeah. I like it. It sounds cool to me.
Elliot Ramos wins the Giants Barney Nugent Award. And so that honor goes to the outstanding player who exemplifies team spirit. Cool. Apparently it was a fairly overwhelming / unanimous decision by the players. But yeah, he had a hell of a camp, hit over 400, shows a lot of potential. And in fact, he just hit his 4-year anniversary of being drafted by the Giants when he was 17 years old.
Oh, wow.
Now he's 21. Can you imagine that, like being drafted at age 17? I mean, I know some guys have been as young as 15 and 16, but that's just crazy. Where I was at 17, let alone 21. I mean, geez.
Yeah,
he had to grow up real fast.
Real fast, right? But by all accounts, he's doing it well.
Yeah, so he seems like he's very close, right? It's really just a matter of putting together the fielding and just maybe understanding what the actual big league pitching is going to look like over a full season. But
yeah,
like, I mean, the guy looked like amazing. I mean, he was raking.
No, yeah, he was making contact. I mean, his velocity off the bat was often 105, 106, 107 miles an hour. He was just barreling the ball. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun to see if he's called up, you know, mid-year. I mean, I could see it happening certainly by the latter part of the year. But They're not expanding the rosters as much though, right? They don't do that anymore like they used to. Is that correct, Eric? If I'm not
mistaken? Now it's like 28 guys, and then there's like five guys on a taxi squad or something like that.
Yeah, they're not doing that.
September call-ups are not 40 men anymore.
As a minor leaguer, that would really bum me out, wouldn't it? I mean, you know, if all you've wished for in your life is at least a cup of coffee in the majors, that roster expansion, the September call-ups, is always a way for some guys to get called up that may never see it ever again, just to say they experienced a day or two in the major leagues. So you kind of shut down a lot of those fringe players. But
Bochy's kid probably never would have gotten a shot if it wasn't for expanded roster rules in September.
Oh my
so
God,
he never would have had
totally
that.
Totally right.
Yeah, he never would have had that moment of, you know, oh, let's bring in my son. Let's bring in my son to the game, which is pretty cool.
What is he doing these days anyway? I haven't even followed him. That was years ago, but
oh yeah, interesting. He's probably selling. I don't want to say he's selling insurance. That's always the fallback.
Ouch. Yeah, some of these guys have flashes in the pan. I know. So the roster has not been finalized. I was a little surprised at first, but then you guys brought up pre-show. It's Gabe Kapler. He plays things close to the vest and lets it out at the last second. So I guess you're right. It's not a surprise. I don't know if the Yaz injury has anything to do with that as well, maybe partially. But, I mean, you know, they're flying to Seattle here really soon. So don't they need to know who they put on the plane?
Throw everybody in there. And then at the last second, be like, all right, shipping you back, kid. It's only Seattle, right?
Yeah, maybe it's like Major League and they put the red tape in their lockers.
Yeah. Like they actually are getting on the plane and then there's just the red tape like sitting on their seat. It's like, sorry, bud.
Oh man.
I mean, can you imagine though, if you're one of the guys who does fly to Seattle and gets cut, you got like a week in Seattle because they're getting there today, I think. Mm. Or they went there yesterday. So you're
it's not
nice
a bad place
vacation
to be stuck. Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
By the way, I just looked up the youngest player in MLB history because I was just curious.
15.
Joe Louis Relaford, 12-year-old.
Whoa.
This is professional, though. This isn't the MLB.
Yeah.
Okay. 12, yeah. Jeez, that played in a professional game, the youngest to do so in organized baseball history. This is the Pioneers were playing in Statesboro, Georgia. So this sounds like barnstorming or something like that from like way back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Did they have a year on that? Was it like 18?
No, it's like 92. I gotta like scour this story, but it's like a thing. It's a story about Mike Trout and how he's not the youngest.
Oh,
So he's in here somewhere. I'll figure it out eventually.
I just I noticed friend of the show Brooks Knudsen just pointed out that there's a taxi squad during the season as well.
Yeah, so, for COVID.
Mm-hmm. Right. So these overage guys, they will be just chilling in Seattle, and if somebody's needed or something like that. So we're gonna still have that shuttle going on. I don't know why they call it a taxi squad. It's because they have to be ready to jump in a taxi. I don't know where that terminology comes from.
Yeah, well, I'd assume they're supposed to be somewhat separated maybe or something. So, yeah, I don't know. That's weird. That is weird.
Yeah, but regardless, I mean, you know, I wonder if they've informed all of the players, like, yeah, you're on the taxi squad, you're not on the taxi squad, that kind of thing, you know.
Right.
But yeah, looking at the active roster, at least on the Giants website, it's interesting to note, not the 40-man, but the active roster, they actually only listed 27 players here.
Yeah.
And so they listed 14 pitchers and 13 outfielders. And we kind of looked at the list pre-show, and I know that this is not an official thing, obviously, but I don't know, the 13 hitters look pretty much like that's what it's going to be. Do you guys think there's going to be any differences on this? I mean, I know they only have three outfielders listed, but I mean, we're talking like Dubon's there.
Yeah, Dubon and Ruff are listed as infielders.
And Ruff, as infielders. So we know that they obviously can play outfield. Two catchers, of course, Casale and Posey. So I don't expect any changes there. So I think that's fairly set. So we're going to have Casale and Posey catching, Belt, Crawford, Dubon, Flores, La Stella, Longoria, Ruff, Solano, Dickerson, Slater, and Yastrzemski. So I think that probably does.
Yeah, I think that sounds right. How many games at catcher do we really think we get out of Posey this year? Is, I guess, one of my questions about where the roster. I mean, that looks like that's where we're going to start, but it feels like, depending on how he ends up actually holding up, one of the earliest changes I could see being made is a third catcher. And everything else probably stands pat.
Well, based on what he's been doing in spring training, they claim they're going to try to get him like 100-some-odd games. I think that's about where it's going to be.
Yeah,
Posey seems to be getting swapped out against lefties sometimes, and Casale is catching every like 2-3 to 5 out of the 5 games. So I think we can realistically look at Posey to be like 100 to 115 kind of guy. I don't think he's a full-time catcher anymore, and I don't think he's going to play first base. Kapler came out and said he's not going to play first base.
So. Really? Okay.
Yeah. So
that's it's amazing. I mean, we were talking about this 4 or 5 years ago, right? Like, when is Bochy going to transition Posey into like part-time first baseman, you know?
Well, we're talking at some point it'd really be full-time.
Yeah.
That he would eventually just be a first baseman, but apparently – I mean, honestly, the most valuable thing he can offer a team right now is what he does as a catcher, right? So I guess it just kind of makes sense that as time went on, his bat didn't really hold up, right? His bat didn't stand the test of time, but everything else did. So
that's what I'm worried about.
Amazing defensive player.
That's what I'm worried about going into this season, though, is that his body is still not going to stand the test of time, because he didn't really impress me coming out of spring training at all. It didn't seem like he was driving the ball with any authority, you know, and I'm worried that obviously the ceiling on Buster is gone, but the floors, you know, I hope it doesn't drop any farther. I hope he does come back and have a good year, but he did not seem like he's Buster of say 2016, 2015.
I want to see him challenge 300 for the whole, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't expect to get a lot of power, but I would love to see him be like a high 280s, low 290s hitter, and just, you know, good defensive catcher for 90-100 games, right? It would be really fun to get him like one more solid like season on the way out, because I can't see much more. Watching him, I was like, yeah, that bat's not moving that quick anymore.
It just isn't. It's not the same Buster that we kind of know. His hands aren't the same and his hips aren't the same.
Well, and that's what he had the issue with again this spring, was the damn hip, right? It was tightening up on him all the time. So we were hoping, you know, almost 2 seasons removed from his hip surgery and taking a full season off, that maybe he'd come in better shape. And I mean, can't say he's in bad shape, but that hip is still bothering him. So I can't imagine that not flaring up during the season if it flared up in spring training.
Dude, my hip flares up when I sleep on the couch for like an hour. So squatting for 9 innings, that just sounds crazy.
No, it does. It does. And he's getting up there. So, Eric and I chatted a couple episodes ago about, you know, where we think he's going to be next year. And obviously we know that the Giants have an option for him next year. They're probably not going to exercise that option at that contract amount. They could buy him out. But, you know, he might be at a part in a season where he wants to retire with one team. Maybe he'll take a hometown discount to be a veteran on the club. But if not, you know, maybe there's someone out there that wants to sign a veteran catcher for, you know, a few million a year.
Love to see? Coach. Okay. Coach Posey. Let's go.
here's a quick thought. Here's just a thought exercise. What if Buster Posey, Joey Bart is doing so well in the minor leagues and Buster Posey is not doing as well? What if the Giants look to move Posey at the deadline? What if some contending team looks to trade for a veteran catcher that will help their staff down the stretch? Do you think the Giants would consider trading Posey around the deadline if Bart makes that a possibility?
I mean, if a team has a need for a catcher, like a, you know, somebody who can handle like a staff or something really well, and that's kind of what they're missing. If he's got value, yes. But yeah, it's just he's that value to somebody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't think of the team right now offhand. It was just something.
No, I can't either. I can't place it. I'm thinking like maybe the Angels or somebody is contending all of a sudden and they didn't expect it. Or I don't know who the Braves catcher is, and I could see the Braves being a fit because, you know, Leesburg, sure. Georgia boy with Buster. I don't know. It's something that I've been contemplating, because they're showing their willingness to drop Posey in the lineup. And I think that shows their willingness to go away from Posey if they feel the need be.
I love it. Some of the comments here.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of hot takes. So I actually think, though, that the Giants. So once we moved away from, you know, from Bochy and everything. And we get, and we, you know, it's all new as far as the top structure is concerned. All of that, like, loyalty based on this string of 5 years has really gone away, right? And we, you know, there's not, they don't have that remember 2014 feeling anymore. You know what I mean? It's, nope. So none of that's going to matter at all. Like, if Crawford needs to move, if Belt needs to move, they're pulling the strings on any of these things. So,
yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, look at, you know, way back when Matt Williams was traded. I mean,
yeah.
Right. And that was, you know, with Sabian, obviously he was relatively new and everybody was cursing him out. Well, Zaidi is somewhat new, so he doesn't have what you just said, those emotional attachments. He's aware of them, obviously, very intimately aware.
Yeah, the fans have them. But,
yeah,
you know,
but
he was with the Dodgers then.
So. Not going to be rude, but he doesn't give a crap about the fans.
Yep.
And I know we could say, oh, Bozy puts butts in the sand. Well, at this point, does he, like, overbuilding a championship roster again? I mean,
you know, 8,000.
I'm not for trading him
regardless. So.
Right. But that's why I brought up the Braves, because
we're just
has,
you know,
he has a full no trade. So
That's true.
You know,
yeah.
That's why I bring up somebody like the Braves or somebody like the Angels, who gets to stay in California. You know, even the A's across the bay, it could be a possibility.
I think if it would help the team and if it's a better situation for him as far as playing time or what he can do, a challenge, I don't think he would veto something that made sense. He just seems like too good of a guy for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But also, he's not just going to, like, get shoved, you know, to some crap team just to, like, limp to the end of his career either. And he shouldn't. That should not happen to him.
No. I would certainly hope not. No doubt about it. Yeah. So, well, anyway, this is crazy stuff we talk about in our season preview, right? Never know what's going to happen during the season.
I'll be honest. I brought that up because I put that hot take out there over the weekend and it caught fire and I didn't expect it to. I really think the team should trade Buster Posey, and I think it would be wise for them to do it if Bart forces the option, and it did not go over well, and I don't expect it to go over well here either.
You know what, though? We're all hoping Bart presses this issue. We want to see that kid succeed, right? So
I agree. And
make it hard on us. Make it hard on us, Joey.
That's right. We want him to perform.
You know, this is, and we'll move on. But my last thought is, you remember when we traded Benji Molina? Buster Posey came up, the Giants went on to win the World Series. Why can't Buster extend the same courtesy to the next guy in line?
He's the new Benji Molina. There you go.
He should go to the team that we end up beating in the World Series this year. Yeah.
Send him to the Angels, like I said, and then Giants Angels.
Or the Yankees or something like that, right? And then we'll beat the Yankees in the World Series. Easy. This all sounds easy.
I love it. All right, you've touched
everything.
It
is just sunshine
is
and
good.
Roses right now.
Look, we're tied for first place right now, baby. You can't talk me out of it. We're winning it all.
Winning it all, baby. God, we used to do that. Why are we going to win it all? Not so much anymore. All right, well, speaking of the roster, Yaz was hit by a pitch yesterday in his left hand. It looked bad. It looked worse than apparently it really was. X-rays are negative, so he's listed as day-to-day. Guys like Crawford came out and said, yeah, it looked bad, but he's going to be okay. The question is he going to be starting in right field opening day? We don't know yet, so we'll see how that materializes. But, doesn't sound like it's going to be too much of a problem.
Yeah,
but I know when I've got hit in the hand, even though it doesn't get broken, you know, first of all, it was by a 75 to 80 mile an hour fastball, not 90 plus mile an hour fastball. And then I'm sore for like 2 weeks, man. I can't like grab toilet paper. So I don't, you know.
Well, and you don't have to go out and try to hit 100 mile fastballs afterwards.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a little different, but man. All right. Go ahead, Willie.
I'm just going to say, I predict he'll be fine. I predict he'll be in the starting lineup opening day. Cause I really do feel like, you know, we did talk about how the Giants are one of those teams that tries to keep a lot of things secret up to the last minute. But with something like this, I think they would be talking about it if there was really a serious problem here. But it seems like it's kind of a non-issue.
Yeah, it's good. All right, so the Giants are going to be opening Thursday. They have a really odd three-game series going Thursday, Friday, Saturday with a Sunday off day in Seattle. And then they're going to be followed by three in San Diego. So we'll be back that Monday morning before they start in San Diego. So it's a little weird. But their home opener doesn't happen until April 9th versus Colorado. So we still have another 10 or 11 days for that. What are you guys' opening day traditions. I mean, ESPN and MLB Network always has like triple, quadruple, quintuple headers opening day. Thursday, well, what are your plans? Like, what do you typically do?
Well, this year, I'm just excited to actually be able to watch, like, for sure. I tried to watch as much during spring training, but obviously a lot of stuff wasn't televised.
Yeah.
It was kind of funky, and listening to the radio was giving me, like, some vibes, but I'm not going to watch anything else. I'm going to sit down for this one Giants game. I'm going to watch that. I hope that we win, and I'll be very excited. But other than that, that's it. I mean, it's weird being here in Austin because it's not the same as in San. Like in San Francisco, I'd like go to a bar. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, for like opening day, especially if I could. Or a lot of times, if I was working that day, you know, we'd have the radio on in the office, right? And everybody would be talking about it. But I'm going to be alone. And by the way, here in Austin, we just lost our San Francisco Giants / 49ers bar. It shut down. Oh,
really?
Yeah. It wasn't like the spot in New York, honestly, but it was cool that it was here. It was pretty close to my place. The bar was kind of douchey though. Like expensive drinks. I always had like really young bartenders who weren't very good, but they were like wearing push-up bras and stuff. You know what I mean? It was that kind of bar. They're trying to make it the sports bar feel. It's not really the kind of place I go. In San Francisco, but still, when you would go there for a game, everybody had on their 49ers gear or the Giants gear, and that place is no longer here. So I was considering that, and then I looked it up, and it's gone. So it's going to be me at home.
Yeah, Finnerty, you're right. Finnerty shut down, too.
Finnerty's is gone in New York, yeah.
Yeah, that was really sad to see. I never got a chance to get out there.
I know, that was a bucket list thing of mine, to go there and watch a game, but that never happened.
I know. What about you, Eric? What are your plans?
Well, it's funny. It's different this year. It's my first West Coast opening day.
That's right.
So it's gonna be wall to wall baseball, regardless. What I usually do is I do try to just set aside the day, and back in the day it was watch whatever triple header was on ESPN. You know, hope that Giants Dodgers, if that was the opening game, made it to the slate of games on opening day. And
I don't think Giants Mariners are going to make it, but
no, definitely. But hey, I get that's what
that's a World Series preview right there.
Yeah,
that's what I love about living here, though. I get Kruk and Kipe right off the bat. So I usually will watch the Cubs game too. It doesn't matter what games I'm watching during the day on ESPN. As soon as the Cubs start, I put the Cubs game on. Because I have to put the Cubs game on because I grew up going to Cubs games. That's the other opening day tradition. If I'm not at home watching games, I was going to Wrigley. I probably hit 5 to 7 opening days at Wrigley growing up. So that would be kind of an opening tradition at that point. So this year, though, I'm going to start new. If the Giants and Cubs always happen to play at the same time, we'd double screen it. I'd pull a second television out.
Yeah,
because it's opening day. You don't want to miss anything. There could be that thing. You know, I'll never forget Ian Happ like 2-3 years ago hitting the first pitch of the entire season for a home run against the Marlins for the Cubs, and it was like, oh, okay, this is a fun way to start the entire day and things like that. So you remember like random stuff like that. And that's my opening day. I used to have just sit around and watch baseball all day. I think I'm going to make meatballs this year. I made meatballs each of the last few years I was at home. I saw it in my memories each of the last few days on Facebook. So I guess that's my new tradition. It's making meatballs and watching wall-to-wall coverage.
Nice. There's nothing like opening day. You know, I mean, look, I love it when the NFL season starts. I don't really care too much about the NBA. Certainly, I don't care about the NHL. But, I mean, there's just something about opening day. It's kind of Christmas, you know, for baseball fans. I mean, everybody, you know, the season springs anew. You have all these great hopes and dreams, and it's just great to see real baseball count too. You're not seeing, you know, double A's and triple A players. It's just fantastic. But yeah, by the end of the day, when I've stuffed my face full of barbecue and hot dogs and beer, usually I'm like, all right, time to move on. Here we go. Let's see how the regular season goes. But it's going to be fun, no doubt. So, yeah, I'll probably be working all day, but here in my office have the games on and the TV all day. So it'll be good stuff.
It feels
weird. I lived in Vegas, by the way. And I don't know how often you ever do this, but I would just go to sports books, man, if there's a really nice one. Like, just all those TVs. And usually the seats are pretty comfy and there's cocktails and you know what I mean? It's like, it's not a bad way to watch a lot of sports all at once, you know?
Yeah. There's been a lot of, there's been some recent openings. There's a new one at Circa that I really want to check out. To me, that's more of a, I'm going to check it out on a random Tuesday type thing. So I don't run into a crowd. Cause
yeah, that makes sense.
Our crowds are ramping up right now. And security is more lax at the casinos than ever before.
So one of my favorite things we do ever at the MJ World Championship every year is everyone's completely hungover as hell on Sunday, and it's football season. It's like right in that kind of perfect spot in November where things are gearing up. We know who the good teams are and everything, you know. And you just take your hungover ass down to the sports book, get a Bloody Mary, and just like watch every football game all at the same time.
Yeah.
Bet on a few, you know, and just all the action. It's great. But yeah, I can imagine right now in COVID times, yeah, I'd probably just chill at my house, you know.
Well,
yeah.
I've seen the sports book packed at times during COVID times. And I don't want to be a part of that. I've kind of been flying by it, you know, from one way to another. I don't want to be part of that. That's why I totally would take like a random Tuesday or Wednesday night and go there and pick a day. You know, maybe when the Giants aren't even playing to make it easier, so I don't have to pay attention to anything.
You know what's funny is in Vegas, somehow the poker people are the most responsible people. It's like that's where there's no smoking. That's where they're like wiping everything down and putting up barriers between everybody and stuff. Everywhere else, it's like, it's Vegas, man. Just do it, buddy.
Do it. It doesn't count. The alcohol will kill it.
Yeah,
exactly.
The airport here was packed this weekend with the past two weekends with March Madness. So I can only imagine.
Spring break was happening too. I imagine people were coming to Vegas for that.
Yeah. Myself, I've been staying out on weekends and only going during the week. So.
All right. Beauty of Vegas is that's totally fine. A weekday in Vegas is more popping than a weekend here. So.
That's true.
All right,
I do love it here. Yes, I was gonna say let's transition. Should we go into predictions? Is that
segue? I'm gonna bring up. Here we go. All right, it's what we do every year. It's our season total win predictions, and we'll have a few other predictions in there too. But this is the big one right now. And so I threw out there on Facebook on Giants Chatter. Giants Chatter, by the way, is a smaller Giants kind of fan group, but they're a very active one. So even though some others are like, you know, 2,000, 3,000 members, you just don't see as much activity as Giants Chatter, which only has like 300-something people. But anyway, I put out there to Giants fans, how many wins do you think you're going to get this year? So I promised that I was going to read them out, so I also am sharing them on the screen. So we're just going to kind of go in order here. I think there's like 30-something or whatever. I'm probably going to butcher half of these names, by the way, but we're just going to start here. And this is so fun because we do this every year with Giants fans, and I personally love looking at the optimism, the eternal optimism that comes out through the fans.
Usually I'm the optimistic guy here. It's good to see that I have some people.
Yeah, that's right. These are very optimistic folks. All right. So go ahead, Eric.
I was going to say, I have it open if you want to, you know, bounce it back and forth at some point.
Okay, yeah. I'll do five or six. You do after that. Yeah. So, all right. So Rich Van Zandt, 85. Say Hey Doug, who is an admin, of course, and a listener. 80. Michael Ireton is thinking 78. Tristan Edwards, 81. Max Rosito, 82-85. Stacey Farnham, 82.
Fraser Murray thinks they'll be under 500 with 75. Michael St. John has them at 82. Greg Fitch thinks 82. Stuart Weiner thinks 78. Everybody's right around the same area. Brad Fulton, 82. And Ben Salvi says 81. Look at that, another one around 500.
Yeah. Dan Morey, 82. Daniel Roxar, 83. Brooks, who's been commenting on our show, 85. Woo, going up there, Brooks. Martin Banks, 77. Charlie Baldwin, another admin who does a show that Eric's been on, 85.
Kevin Babb, I love this. Love my Giants, but got to be real, 72, and that may be a reach. Why so glum, Kevin? What's going on, man?
It's by far the lowest one, yeah.
That is. Bill Duncan said he had his fantasy draft and there's only one Giant in the top 100 picks, and that speaks volumes. So 70 wins is overachieving. I don't know if I agree with that assessment, Bill, but I too noticed in fantasy drafts not a lot of Giants are getting drafted. Sergio Dubon, I'm unsure in relation to Mauricio. I think somebody in the group asked him, and I think he's related by his father's cousin something, and I'm not sure what it is. But Sergio, here's a shout out to you. You're hoping for 80-ish, so 82 wins to be precise, but sees them as third place, unfortunately. And Alex Goodman says 83.
All right, okay. Craig Mace, 86. Chris Corbett, another friend of ours, 85. Charlie Baldwin, oh, he already had commented on that. Eric said 17. I know you're joking. You're saying, what, 17 against the Rockies and none against anyone else? I love that. Zach Walling, 84. Jeff Roland, 84. Brent Tay Walker, 87. Beardy Ian, wow, that's a name, 89. That's a name. Woo, going up there. And then Kobe Liu, 83. So, wow, we got some optimism in there. But you know what? In years past, we've seen things like 100 wins. So it goes all over the board. I did add everything up, and our average count from that group was, and we had two on Twitter, by the way, 78 and 80. Sorry, I don't have their names with me right now. The average was 82. 82 wins was the average. The high was 90, and the low was, 73. So... Or 72, I think. Yeah, 72. So 72 to 90 was our range. 82 was the average. Now, just to give a little bit of context, Vegas has the Giants at 75.5. So, yeah, Giants fans are about 6.5 games more optimistic than Vegas.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, sounds about right, right? Now, let's see. I got to bring this up. This is going to be fun. I looked back at all of our season predictions over the past 5 years, and I got them here to show to you guys. All right. So we got 2015 through 2020. There's a lot of numbers here, but let me walk you through it, okay? So we have last year, 2020. Giants won 29 games. They did play the full allotment of 60. Our predictions were as follows. Myself with 27, so I was 2 under. Eric with 30, he was only 1 over. Willie shooting high with 35. And then Jen, who joined our show last year, 32. It was a shortened season, but yeah, Willie was going real high there.
Yeah, I was going for it.
Yep, going for it, baby.
Yep.
Hey, you know what? They lost their last 3 games of the year, and they just missed out the playoffs by one game. So, I mean, you know, if they pulled a couple 3 out of those, they would have been in the playoffs, and you would have looked a lot better.
Well, I think they overachieved from what we thought, honestly. So
yeah. But over the last 2 years, true. Eric's doing really well with a net change or a net difference of only minus one, because last year, 2019, Giants won 77. I predicted 73. Eric was 75, so he was only 2 off there. 2018, they won 73. I went 76. I was 3 over. Eric with the ultimate, baby.
What the?
96. Yeah, and that was correct. I went back and listened to it.
Was
you
I
were
on...
shooting...
Run.
I think you might have been on something that day, because yeah, you shot the moon on that one, and then Willie went with 79, so we were all over
drinking.
On that one. I know. I actually didn't believe it. I had to go listen to it, and yeah, you did. You stuck with that. 2017 was the aberration because, you know, they were coming off a playoff year, right? And even Vegas had them at 88.7 for 2017. So even Vegas thought they were high. They only won 64. That was their really atrocious year, right? I went with 89, Eric 84. Look at, I was even more optimistic than Eric that year.
Yeah.
Willie with 91 and Ben, our old friend of TortureCast and former host, 89. So we were all 20 plus games over, but Vegas was 22 games over. So that's kind of that aberration.
Everybody was a
year.
Little optimistic that
yeah,
year. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't us being too optimistic. It was the
we
Giants
riding a
falling
high.
On their
yeah,
face.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. We were riding a high. We thought they were going to be pretty good. And then some things happened.
Oh, man. 2016. Oh, looks like we lost Eric for a second. 2016, they won 87. I went with 90. Eric with 94. Ben
by the
with
way,
86.
It was, Was 2015 when Bumgarner had the freak accident on the last day? The injury on the last day of spring training, or was that a different year?
I thought that was 2017, to be honest.
Okay, but, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, he had the scooter thing, and then he had, like, the injury, like, in an actual game or whatever, right? So yeah. It was, like, 2 years when we got shot in the foot, like, right away.
Yeah. And then 2015, they won 84. I nailed that year at 84. Eric with 92, and Willie with 87, a little closer. And Ben, 88. And Vegas was 85 that year. So if you kind of average it all out, including that outlier year, Vegas was off by about 7 wins. I was off by about 6. Eric and Willie off by around 10. But if you remove 2017, because everybody was off, I'm pretty damn close over those other 5 years. Only 2.5 games off. Eric at 8 because of that 1 year, 2018. Oh my I'll admit it was because of that. And then Willie off by 5. And if you do the net, like if you're minus 2 1 year, plus 2 the next year, you're right on, right? It's like total wins for the entire duration. If you throw out 2017, mm-hmm. I'm spot on. I have a net change of 0 over those other 5 years, which I found very
doing
very
better than Vegas.
Vegas was off by 4. Yeah, a net change of 4. So there you go. There you have it. And so we are here to give our 2021 predictions. And as a reminder, Vegas, 75.5. And the last couple of years, they've undervalued the Giants at minus 5 games yesterday or last year in a short season. So that translates to a lot more during a regular season. And they undershot the previous year. But all the previous years before that, the 4 years prior to that, Vegas actually overestimated the Giants' chances. So
yeah,
use that for what you will. So I don't know if you guys are ready.
Yeah.
I'll go first if you want.
All right. We got a sacrificial lamb. Who you got?
I think the Giants are going to finish in third place in the division. I believe the Dodgers are going to win the division again with 106 wins. I think the Dodgers are one of the best teams that we have seen probably in our lifetime that's been built recently, and I hate that. But the Dodgers are going to win the division. San Diego will come in second. They'll win 92 games. I think they'll make a wild card berth. We'll get to that in a minute. And then comes the third place San Francisco Giants. And I think they're going to be better than Vegas says. I think I'm going a little more optimistic again, and I'm going to say 88 wins, but they fail to make the playoffs. I think 88? The Giants, yes, I think they're
going to be over 500 team. Okay.
Yeah, I think they're a good team that's going to continue to hit and mash the ball. I think they're going to get hot at times and win things like 12 of 15, 15 of 20. I think they could do that once or twice. But because of the competitiveness of the NL West, they'll still finish in third place and they'll finish outside of the playoffs. I just see the Giants beating up on teams like Arizona, Colorado, Cincinnati, Miami, possibly. Who else is bad in the Central? The Cubs aren't as good this year. Milwaukee's not as good this year, I think. But so I'll put the Giants at 88 wins, but third place and out of the playoffs.
Wow, 88, okay. But still out of the playoffs. That's nice. All right, Willie, you got a number?
Yeah, I mean, I'm way less optimistic, but I do think I do think they beat Vegas, but I'm thinking more in the range of like 75 wins.
75,
yeah. Yeah, they're not going to be a 500 team, not this year. But it's like the thing is like a big reason, like, because I would think we'd be a 500 team. But the thing is that the two teams we play a lot out of the four teams we play a lot are so freaking good. And I don't think that they, like, I don't think the bad team, I don't think we beat up on the bad teams enough for how much the Padres and the Dodgers are going to beat up on everybody in this division. Yeah. So, you know, it's going to be really hard to win a lot of games in this division.
I just think they can hang with like, the Dodgers, you know, and Padres.
We have two of the top five teams, you know,
win a few.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I kind of echo Willie's sentiment in the sense of the Padres and the Dodgers are so good, and they play the unbalanced schedule. So they're going to play those two teams combined 38 times. Jesus. So think about that. Ooh. That's basically a quarter of their season. A quarter of their games.
If we win a
are against
of
the,
those games.
The Dodgers and the Padres. I mean, yeah. Eric also mentions that the Giants always play the Dodgers very well. And they do. They're very competitive. There's something about that rivalry that really does make both teams play up to one another, depending on how, you know, well each other's doing. I mean, the Giants last year hung with the Dodgers. They only, you know, lost a couple more games than they won against the Dodgers. And in years past, the same exact thing has happened. For some reason, they do play them well. They definitely struggled against the Padres. And so the Padres have only gotten better. I'm a little concerned about that. Like I said, you know, 38 games, quarter of their season against those two teams, you know, that are really predicted to be in the playoffs for sure. You know, taking the West and winning.
That's
the
thing.
Card.
If they win 10 of those, they did pretty well. You know what I mean?
I think if you remove those two teams, I think the Giants can definitely achieve 500. But with those two teams in the mix, I think they're going to be under 500. But I think they're going to beat Vegas. And so I'm going to go with 79. I think they're just going to miss out on 500.
Okay.
And go 79. I mean,
I'm
last
the least
year,
optimistic. What the hell's going
that's,
on?
I know. I don't think that's really happened with you before. I know.
No.
I know.
Apparently,
you know,
I just will continue to be the most optimistic. But I didn't shoot for 96 this year, so at least, I tried to keep it reasonable.
Yeah. No, it's a tough one. I mean, the Giants, you know, finished only two games under 500. I think that scaled to 78 wins in a full season. I think that's kind of where they are. You know, I think they're close to 500, but they're not going to be able to close out certain games. They're not going to be able to hang with the Dodgers and Padres in late innings. It's just all those little things. You know, baseball is a game of inches, and I just think they don't have a lot of room for error. So there are going to be plenty of games they win by a lot, and they hang on. But those games,
I think
they're really
going to win
tight.
A lot of games 8-7, and they're going to lose a lot of games 7-8. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to give up a lot of runs, and they're going to score too. But
Definitely.
Look at the. How do the Dodgers also have like the best three pitchers? You know what I mean? And the best like position player at every position. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Isn't there supposed to be some semblance of parity at like
that? They're a good team. It's really tough
to
look at.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
I hate it.
Yeah, we're speechless about the Dodgers. What are you gonna do? Maybe they've won 8 NL West titles in a row. I mean, if they continue this much longer, they're gonna start rivaling what the Braves won like 12 in a row or something, NL East banners. So
I mean, that shit's supposed to be hard, man. It's supposed to, you know what I mean? To be good for that long is supposed to be difficult, and somehow
I mean, the roster looks a lot different than it did 8 years ago, and they're still winning, you know. But it is. It's, you know, it's money, and they had developed a really good farm system, and Farhan helped build a lot of the championship team.
That is true.
And so, you know, hopefully there's a little bit of residual, you know, energy that only lasts another year or two. And hopefully, you know, they'll start striking out like, say, the Yankees do perennially. I mean, more recently they've been doing better. But look, they didn't get in the playoffs last year, right? They haven't won a World Series since 2009. But they keep building a super team every single year and failing. So hopefully the Dodgers start repeating that pattern. That'd be nice.
So I will say this. I saw a post the other day that the Giants were like the fifth highest worth franchise in baseball. I don't know if you guys saw this. So, you know, it was the Dodgers were above us, the Yankees were above, you know what I mean, the teams you'd expect, but
yeah,
you know, the fifth, as far as just total worth of the team, it was like $5 billion or whatever, something crazy. So I mean, you know, if we get to the point where we feel like we're close, we're a team that can spend that money, you know?
Yeah. Well, and again, after this year, we have to deal with the collective bargaining agreement, of course, to see if there's going to be a season next year. But so many contracts are being wiped off the table. I mean, they almost have a blank checkbook next year. They really do.
Yeah.
So that's what's going to be nice. You know, they're now starting to develop their farm system. We're just cracking the top 10 in those rankings, which it's just going to get stronger and stronger. We're going to wipe the contracts out from Belt and Crawford and Posey. Things are looking better for 2022, 2023, and 24. And yeah, I mean, there's no reason to doubt that the Giants can be ultra competitive here in the next year or two.
If we can get a couple of guys on this team to have over 30 home runs, then somebody who's a home run hitter, I mean, I know it's like crazy, but like Flores and Bryce, you know what I mean? Yeah, maybe. Like that's not that crazy. If two guys can get to 30, suddenly this is going to look like a place where guys can get a lot of home runs again. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think that's been a thorn in our side for a long time. It's like, why does the top lefty in baseball want to come to the Giants? You know what I mean? He doesn't. His home runs go to die in Triple's Alley. So we got to get rid of that thing. And it looks like this year might be the year where that goes away. So
I hope so. I hope so. And I hope it's not just the fence being brought in, but it's performance of players. Yeah, that will highlight other players going, hey, maybe it's not a Death Valley over there, you know?
Yeah.
Triples
yeah,
out.
Maybe
kills
I can
everything.
Get a few home runs up there. You know?
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of playoffs, the other thing we do every year, of course, is look at. Oh, actually, you know what? I skipped it. I should go back to that. Before we get to the playoffs, let's talk about.
Playoffs?
You're talking about playoffs? By the way, I was watching Ted Lasso. Highly recommend. We're about six.
I've heard really good
in.
Things. I just
really
don't have,
good.
It's like the one thing I don't have access to is Apple TV.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, good. What? Why is it on that? Put it on Hulu, damn it.
I know. I know. It's an excellent show, by the way. Anyway, he goes off with this whole playoff rant, which reminded me of, Allen Iverson. All right. So let's talk about team predictions. Who's going to lead the team in home runs? I'm going to go ahead and start this off. Just give me a name and a number. I'm going with Yaz with 28.
Okay.
Just going to miss out on 30.
Well, I'm going to say Flores gets the 30. I think yeah. Yaz doesn't, but I think Flores does. He's a strong boy.
He is. He's a strapping
lad. It just depends on how many at-bats he gets, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's fun sure. too. He was interviewed yeah. during the game on Sunday when Yaz homered, and he was a lot of fun when he was talking to the guys. He was yeah. giving Kipe some the business, telling how much he liked listening to his home run call. So he likes watching the highlights of his own home run calls and listening to Kiper call nice. Him. He loves. I think that's just so funny. I'll go with Austin Slater. And
whoa, yeah.
The
okay.
dark horse pick.
Dark horse, definitely. How many did you say?
27.
27.
I think okay. the Giants have depth. I think that they can get 3 to 4 guys over 20 homers this year. I think Flores will get there. Yaz will get there. Solano might get there. You know, there's entirely possible that they could have 4 guys over 20 homers. Dickerson could get there, 5. You know, yeah. this could be the most popular lineup we've seen since the early aughts.
Now that's what's fun about it is they don't have, you know, the one Barry Bonds or the one Kevin Mitchell or whatever. They have a bunch of guys who have the potential to hit 25 to 30 home runs. And that's yeah. what's so exciting about it. Yeah, you know, if Belt's healthy a whole year.
I mean, yeah, I could
Dickerson,
see Belt or Longo.
Flores,
I
didn't even yes, mention Belt. Longo, right? Yeah. yeah, those 5 right off the top of your head.
If those guys just don't yeah. get hurt and play and actually get, you know, 450 to 500 at bats, like why wouldn't they be able to do that, you know?
Yeah. So absolutely. So some of our listeners, Chris Corbett, Belton Dickerson, both hit 27 this year. Sergio Dubon, Flores, hands down. The DH games will help him get to 30 yeah, dingers. So, sure. yeah, we're kind of all on the same wavelength here. All right, what about wins? Eric, let's go back, snake draft this thing.
All right.
Oh, geez.
I'm just going to say I can't do it. All right, I'll just say Gausman. Yeah. I'll say Gausman and 15. Wow. If he does what he did last year, then he should be able to win more than he lost. I would love to say somebody like Logan Webb, but that's stepping out too far.
No, yeah. I'm going to go Gausman as well, but I'm going to say it's like 10.
Yeah.
yeah. I don't think yeah. it's 15.
Yeah, it's a hard one, right? Especially if you think they're only going to win 75 games, right?
I just don't
one
think
one fifth of their wins right there.
Yeah,
15.
I just don't think the way our team operates that a lot of our starters even qualify for victories in games we do win.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. True. Like that's just not the way the Giants operate their bullpen anymore. So,
and that's what's
going to
be
hard
different
for anybody to get over 10.
Yeah, we're going to have a ton of starting pitchers this year. I mean, I expect every one of these guys to hit the IL at some point, and I expect minor league guys. Berger is getting stretched out to be a starter. I expect Kazmir might make an appearance as a starter. We're going to see a ton of starters this year, so it's going to be tough to accumulate yeah. wins for any of these guys.
And it's just Kapler's style, you know what I mean? He just mm-hmm. he likes to move around a lot of things during the game. A lot of guys yeah. don't get to go farther than 5.
That's the thing is a lot of guys aren't going to qualify based on being pulled in the 4th inning when, mm-hmm. you know, they're in trouble and it's a tight game and he has a lot of bullpen help if he ever does openers. And then like you guys said, I mean, yeah, they're starting with 5 starters. Those 5 starters are going to look a lot different in 3 months, right? So you're yeah. going to have this just big revolving door of starters. We're going to have guys starting that we never even heard of, let alone you know, some guys down in the minors right now, right? So some of the veterans that they've signed. So yeah, I think Gausman as well, but I'm going more like 12, and I think that's like max on the outset. It's going to be tough for a pitcher to hit double-digit wins. I think it's possible, but I think it's going to.
I mean,
hard.
if he has an ERA of around 4, like or you know slightly under whatever, the offense will get him wins, right? Mm-hmm. It's just will he pitch 5 innings, 6 innings in those wins?
Yeah. But, you know, and a guy like Logan Webb, who obviously has that new changeup, which was devastating in spring training. He had an excellent spring. Yeah. But, you know, he's got the injury bug and he's young and he was not thrown against all major leaguers during spring. So I don't fully expect him to come into his own. I think he's going to have a good year, but yeah, I don't think he's going to lead the team in wins. So batting average, I'll start first. I know an obvious one could be Donnie Barrels because of what he did last year, and I think that's a good pick. I don't know if he can repeat. I really don't. So I'm gonna go a little dark horse here, and just cross my fingers that he's healthy this year, which is like suicide. I'm gonna go Brandon Belt.
Brandon Belt. Wow. I was about to say that's.
I think he might be able to crack 300 this year and lead the team. I don't think Solano's gonna hit like 325 again during a whole season. He's, you know, for okay. shortened season, obviously it was great, but yeah, so I'm thinking Brandon Belt around like, you know, 305 to 310 ish.
Okay. Well, if you want to talk OBP, then it's definitely Brandon Belt. Oh, if we're well, talking yeah. batting average, then I think it's Yaz. He's going to hit. He's going to be like, yeah, 300 on the dot. He might lead the team with 299. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. Like, I think a lot of guys are going to be close, though. I think we're going to have a lot of guys between 280 and 300. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see us having, yeah, like you said, like, I don't think Solano's going to be like 320 for the season or whatever. You know what I mean? So
no, the longer season goes, your average always dips. I mean, that's just a proven fact.
Yeah, he was
I mean,
basically hot for a 60-game stretch, which turned out to be a whole season. Right? So, you know. But exactly. I think Yaz can hit for average pretty good. And also, you know, he runs down the line pretty well. Obviously, he does like to lengthen out that swing from time to time, but he also seems to be pretty solid at taking what the pitchers give him. So I like him being an average hitter as time goes on in his career.
Yeah. Eric, what's up?
All right. I'll be conventional. I say Donnie Barrels, and mm-hmm. I think Donovan Solano is going to contend for the batting title and hit about 330 to 340.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I like it. I want that.
I feel like he's figured something out. When I watch him swing the bat, he's getting the pitches that other guys and getting base hits on pitches he shouldn't be getting base hits on. You know, like so, the way I see him sometimes scoop that ball low and away out and just shoot it out to the outfield while other guys just be rolling over. There's just something that impresses me about his swing lately. So I'll take Donnie.
I think a big part of that, though, too, is where does he stay in the lineup? Because if you have him like, so if Yaz bats second, which I still don't really know why, but they seem to like putting him there. But if he bats second and Yaz bats third, I think, hell yeah, because he can't, like, you're going to have to throw the ball to him, right? And he's going to do what he does, which is hit the ball hard. So it's just like, I just don't, it's weird the way that our lineup kind of plays. It's hard for anybody to just be the guy, you know what I mean? But we have so many guys too. It's also hard for, you know, you to pitch
batting
anybody,
third really. In this lineup behind LaStella and Yastrzemski, or behind Slater and Yastrzemski. You're gonna
like
have
who's
so
behind him? It's gonna be like Longo and stuff.
It right? is. You know what I mean? I bet Longo bats fourth. And then we see a Dickerson at fifth. They've shown the propensity to drop Posey down to sixth, Crawford to seventh, and then Dubon would bat eighth with the pitcher hitting ninth in the regular park games. I think that's what we're looking at, and I think that's why Solano batting third has a shot at it. I think Yastrzemski himself is part of the reason Solano is going to have such a good year.
Nice. Sure. I mean, if Yastrzemski's on a lot,
right?
Hell yeah. Makes things a lot easier.
Yeah, it does.
All right. Then the last category, just to round out pitching. I know these are old school stats. We're not going whip and BABIP and, you know, OBP and all that stuff like that. War. But ERA, just good old school ERA. Now, I'm going to go with someone different than Gausman. And that might sound counterintuitive because I thought he'd get the most wins. But we all know that number of wins doesn't always equate to that. I think that even though Logan Webb's going to be injured for a good portion of the year, so that's what's going to kind of hurt his chances of getting the most wins, I still think, assuming he qualifies, like for minimum innings pitched, I think he's going to lead the team in ERA. And then we're talking about starters, like not, you know, relievers and stuff that have the bulk of the innings. I'm thinking Logan Webb at about a 4.2 or so. And that'll do it.
Okay.
Wow.
I would say Cueto's not going to pitch a lot, but his ERA is going to be pretty good when he's healthy. And then
so he pitches one game and gives up one run, and his ERA is 1.2, and there you go.
No. He'll get hurt at some point, but he'll have been really good for a while, and we're like, we just want him to be back where he used to be. But he just, you know, he'll have like, you know, 15 starts on the season or something.
Yeah.
But he'll have like a sub-3 ERA starts. Yeah, I think. Because he's shown he's capable of that shit. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's just the thing is, he just gets hurt and then he sucks. It's like, it's hard to pitch hurt, man.
Yeah, and he's getting up there. He's not the same old young Johnny Cueto used to be. At least to love it, but
his style though is like should be decent for a crafty veteran, right? All the weird timing shit that he does and everything. So I don't know. He seems
it
like
feels
one of those
like
guys
he's been a crafty veteran.
For I know for his already. Whole year, yeah. But he just can't throw in the mid 90s anymore, right? So it's like
no,
yeah.
he's
got to be real
out, like,
crafty,
extra crafty.
It's a lot of shimmies. I'm going to agree with Chad. I'm going to go Logan Webb, but I think he's going to have a lower ERA. I think it'll be about 3.5.
All right. Okay. Those are all good. All right. And then just, you know, pick a player. And if you think they're going to get a special award, you don't have to list, like, if you think multiple Giants are going to get gold gloves. I mean, I guess you can go ahead and do that. But, you know, if you think anyone's going to stick out there for, you know, a silver slugger, a gold glove, an MVP, a Cy Young, anything like that. Now, I myself... The Giants, I mean, I know Yaz was in the MVP conversation. That was during the first 30 games of a 60-game season, guys, right? I mean, by the end of this, you know, he was out of the conversation after game 40. I mean, it wasn't there. So I think the same thing's going to happen. Someone's going to get red hot, which typically happens almost on every team. Oh, Yaz is going to be MVP. No, it's not going to happen over 162. Silver Slugger, I don't see anyone winning the batting title. I know there's silver sluggers for each position. That's different, but I'm talking about batting title. But gold gloves, I think the Giants are going to win at least three this year.
How many all-stars do we have?
What?
Well, that's a good question.
Who's going to win a gold glove? This is one of the worst defenses I've seen in my lifetime. Who's going to win a gold glove?
I'm going
Buster
high.
Buster Posey.
I'm shooting high, baby. I'm shooting high. yeah, that's a good question for all-stars. At least one.
yeah, well, one. I think realistically two. I think Yaz and Solano.
Yeah.
Pitchers. Not a single pitcher.
I think Jake McGee might be a reliever if he gets hot, you know, in all-star break. Maybe he makes it as a reliever. And it'll be like the fourth replacement for, you know, four or five injuries that happen on the last day, you know, things. Like, whenever those managers have to dip super deep and you're like, wait, that guy's on the rock? What the hell? Some, like, utility guy. Like,
this is the thing that I don't get. It's like we have, like, this whole team of journeymen, right? And then some people have all the all-stars. It's like, it's not fair, man. And I'm saying this as a Warriors fan. So, you know.
That's right.
Yeah. I knew it wasn't fair then, and it's not fair now.
Oh, man. So, I don't know. Eric, did you have anything? I know you laughed at the gold glove thing. Do you think there's anything coming out of this team?
No, okay.
Yeah, you're thinking 88 wins, so there's got to be some.
Got to be an all-star on that team.
There's Austin Slater, there's Mike Yastrzemski, and there's Donovan Solano. And
three.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody wins a gold glove. You can tell I really think that's funny. It hurts to watch this defense. So it's hard for me to, you know, unless Longo, like, just goes
on. But Brandon Crawford can't put together one more quality season at shortstop.
Somebody else, I agree, could totally have one of those seasons where it's like, yes, he wins it. You know, if the Giants are a surprise team, then they're going to be looked at for these kind of awards.
Sure.
So yeah. I think they'll be a surprise team. So I have to consider that they might. But like I said, I think Donovan Solano contends for the batting average title and wins a Silver Slugger at second base again. I mean, that was a surprise last year. And then I think Yaz and Slater and Solano all get MVP votes, but like in the top 20, not like any top five or any crap like that. I don't think anybody gets, you know, like any significant stuff. And then I don't think any of the pitchers appear. Logan Webb is the closest one I have to appearing anywhere. This kid really comes to expectations. I don't know. I'm really high on him this year. So if he gets the expectations, maybe he finishes like 17th in Cy Young Award voting.
Yeah, okay. I like the call we just got in chat, by the way. I don't think Dubon ever challenges for it now, but give him like two more years and he's like more of an established player and somebody people pay attention to. He could definitely be a Gold Glove guy at some point in his career.
Yeah, he definitely has some to learn. I just think his jumps are off, but he's young.
He's just not a name right now, too. He could have like a super amazing season in center field and people won't pay any attention because it's like it's just other people that are going to be, you know.
Yeah,
they're already going to have their votes locked in for like four or five guys there.
It happens, right? With the right.
I mean, you got
especially.
Mookie Betts in the friggin' same division. Like, are we really, you know?
It's like, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. So one more thing before we wrap up our season preview, and we do this every year as well. Playoff predictions. Last year, I don't have it up, but I know that I did take the Dodgers begrudgingly, and unfortunately they did win it. But let's go just... So as far as we know, there is no expanded playoffs, but it's not official yet. That's the funny thing.
What?
It's just by default.
I thought we were just going back to the two.
They said if they don't have an agreement on expanded playoffs, we are just using the standard five teams per.
Yeah, two wild cards and three division winners.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yep. So that's the assumption at this point. They just haven't formally announced it. But I mean, last year, I know it was a weird year, but they started the season before having an agreement. So
it was pretty fun, though, to be honest. Like I was skeptical, but it was pretty damn fun when the Giants could actually still potentially make the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was nice having the Giants, you know, in it all, literally all the way down to the final out of the final game of the season, you know, and the Brewers.
Where
ended
Austin
up
Slater
making
got
it.
Screwed, man. I'm so pissed about that.
Yeah, I know. That, the worst way to end a playoff drive. You know what I mean?
Right. Those called strikes were ridiculous.
They had a chance,
oh my God.
Man. What are you doing?
All right, I'll lead it off. I'm just going to cover my five picks for the National League. For the NL West, I think, unfortunately, the Dodgers are going to repeat for a ninth time. I mean, if it ain't broke, right? NL East, I think the Braves. I know a lot of people are picking the Mets as the surprise team. The Braves are still really good. I don't see, you know, the Braves kind of losing that grip. The Central's kind of a quagmire of a bunch of mediocrity, so I'm just kind of picking a name out of that, and I'm going with the Brewers. I think the wild cards are going to be the Padres because, I mean, they're going to be a juggernaut this year. I just think they're going to fall a few games short to the Dodgers. And I do think the Mets are going to be better, so I think, you know, looking at the NL Central is not very good. The no one else from the NL West is going to compete for a wild card spot, so I'm thinking the Mets as the second wild card. Eric, what about you?
I was going to say, I'll go. I have, like, pretty much the same picks. I have the Dodgers in the West, the Braves out East. I took the Cardinals in the quagmire of the NL Central because, just like you, it's a bunch of teams mixed together. I don't think the Reds will contend, and I don't think the Pirates will contend. But the Cubs, the Cardinals, and the Brewers will probably be fighting it out. So I think St. Louis comes out of it. And I think the wild card game is just same as yours, San Diego and New York Mets. I think the Mets did enough. I really do. And it's funny because the Padres and Mets are two franchises where people go, well, that's the Padres, and well, the Mets are going to Mets. And I think those two franchises get to play in a wild card game. I hope it like becomes an epic wild card game because that's kind of a neat little matchup to have in a season like this. Because those are definitely the two off-season champions on paper, the Padres and the Mets. So I think it'll be fun to see them in the wild card game.
I have exactly the same stuff except swap the Braves and the Mets.
Oh, gotcha.
I think the Braves get the division, the Mets get the division, and the Braves are in the wild card.
All right, cool. So you're going
pretty much everything else. Yeah, pretty much everything else is exactly the same.
Well, Milwaukee or St. Louis for the Central?
Oh, St. Louis there.
St. Louis there. Okay. Yeah.
You know, great. I got to tell you, I've been looking at some other expert predictions preseason, and they line up very similar to what we just said, too. And it kind of scares me a little bit. But I think it also shows how top heavy the National League is if everybody's picking the same few teams. Yeah. Which is why I think the Giants can win some games this year, because there's going to be some bottom feeders they get to beat up on. That's just me taking it and twisting it to a Giants perspective.
Like, I mean, I think like some teams like the Reds, like they have winning like almost 80 games or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know about that. Like the Giants match up pretty well there. And I think they'll win some games. And like, we have some, definitely some teams we're just going to beat the hell up on. Right. So,
yeah, for sure. Know.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
The American
wish, wish the Giants were in the Central. That would be,
That'd be sweet, right? We could actually get there. Yeah. Yeah.
That would be nice. Right. All right. So I'm going to go over my American League picks. I know the A's are not predicted to be as good as they were the last couple of years. I still think they're going to take the West. I think Houston has been, their roster has been affected enough where they're just not going to be the AL West champion
Houston,
this year.
Though, in one more year, they're scary again, right?
Yeah, I know. I know.
I do agree with you, though. I think the A's are
I think Oakland will take the West. I think the White Sox take the Central. The Yankees take the East, even though, I mean, Tampa Bay is looking really good still, too. So, and of course, I don't put them in my wild card, but I'm taking Houston and Minnesota for my wild card.
Again, right, we're like, yeah, we're like similar again. I'm different on the West. I think this is the year the Angels get
The Angels, the perennial losers. Yeah, the ones that like underachieve.
I mean, they are very cool.
I think they get it done. Cool. Yeah, uh-huh. I think it's just, you know, one of these years they got to break through, right? So I threw a dart at a wall for them this year.
What if Ohtani does like he wins 20 games and he hits 40 home runs? That'd be so tight.
It'd be like that'd be the best season ever. Yeah. You know, literally. Oh,
he's so much fun. He's so much fun to watch just for the sheer like, what can he do at any time factor?
Yeah,
I like the White Sox. I think the White Sox are probably the best team in the American League right now. I also like the Yankees in the East. And my wild card, like you, I think Houston still hangs around. I think they make the wild card. But I have last year's AL champion Tampa Bay Rays as their opponent. And, you know, I see Minnesota, you said on yours, they just miss mine. It's very similar once again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I pretty much have exactly Eric. I think I can't see the playoff picture without the Rays in it in the American League right now. So, like, they're definitely the wild card team. So, pretty much exactly the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Angels. except not the Angels. No, not the Angels.
Oh, okay. You sounded surprised on that one. I was like, Angels?
No. I actually think the A's is still correct there, too.
Okay. Yeah, going with Oakland. All right, and then
we all agree that Houston is a wild card team and not the division leader anymore. They, like you said, Willie, they got another year or two.
Well, they've like, it's so weird. It's like they rebuilt twice and it's working both times. It's just they're like 1 year away from that, you know what I mean? Yep. That scary thing where everyone's mad that they're back in the World Series picture. I've been talking about
half like, the players are different.
I know they're all different, exactly. Like, but you know, people don't like to forget stuff like that. But it's, you know, Ty's like a guy I hang out with a lot. He's a huge Astros fan, and he just can't stop talking about like the rookie of the year that nobody knows about, and all, you know what I mean, all this stuff. So
of course, you know, of course, we're all jaded
listening to him. It's like, yeah, listening to him, I'm like, oh shit, well they're gonna win it this year then, huh? All right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think if you had half the Giants fans on national TV, they'd be like, wow, there's no reason they can't compete for the NL West.
Sure. Like,
they'd be like, I could think of a few. All right, and then without going, you know, round by round, it's just NL, who's going to be in the World Series and then who's going to win. So, you know, I know the Dodgers faced the Padres last year, and the Dodgers pretty much crushed the Padres. If the Padres' pitching rotation stays healthy, they specifically signed guys like Yu Darvish and Blake Snell for those short series. And obviously we saw what Blake Snell could do in the playoffs with the Rays. God damn it, why was he taken out? But I think, you know, if they face in the 5-game or the 7-game series, I think it's possible the Padres could have the upper hand on the rotation if everything stays according to plan, because we know Kershaw's going to Kershaw in the playoffs and things like
that's
that.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, Dodgers have this black hole in the playoffs every year.
Yeah, this uncertainty. So I think the Padres get through the National League, represent them in the World Series. The Yankees missed out on the playoffs entirely last year, but I think back to a regularly scheduled 162 game season, they're gonna run the table and become the champs, which I don't like. But I called the Dodgers last year, and I didn't like that either. So, yeah, whatever. What are you gonna do?
Well, I'm gonna call the Dodgers this year. That's what I'm gonna do. I think they're the best team in baseball. I can't help it. It sucks. I'm jealous in a way that I wish that I could watch that talent every day. You know, that's kind of what you wish as a fan. To every day you go out, you're like, oh, well, yeah, our team's got a chance to win. Like, there are times when the Giants start the game, you're like, well, they're facing this guy. This guy's in the lineup, so maybe not so well. So, I mean, I'll fully admit I'm jealous of not being able to watch the Dodger lineup every day. So I think the Dodgers will beat the White Sox in the World Series in a rematch of 1959.
Okay. Well, I'm also gonna take the Dodgers, but they're gonna beat the Yankees.
Yeah.
In the World Series.
In a rematch of 1950 this, 50 this.
Yeah, yeah. In the rematch of all these fucking years.
Like 10 times in the World Series or some shit like that.
But I mean, it's gonna be very exciting for the television broadcasters. You know what I mean? They're gonna love it so much. L.A. versus New York. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what will be funny, too? It'll be L.A. versus New York, and all of the conservatives are going to be like, yeah, well, fuck both these cities. I don't care which one wins, the damn liberals. That's going to be hilarious to watch, too. But, yeah. No, it's, you know, it's funny. It's like watching the Dodgers right now is like what it would have been like maybe to be like a Cavs fan.
Yeah,
you know, 4 or 5 years ago or whatever, watching the Warriors and being like, God damn it. And then, like, you know, maybe you sneak one in there and they don't get it. But I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
Baseball is the better team, I think, wins more often.
Yeah. Chris corrected me. Sorry, I didn't. You're right. I was thinking of it was the first time they didn't win a World Series in a decade. And it came out that they didn't make the playoffs. Yeah, they totally played the Tampa Bay Rays last year. But it was, you know, the first time since whatever it was, the 19 teens or something like that, in 100 something years, like they that, had not won a World Series within a decade. So the whole decade of the
full
teens.
10 years.
Yeah. Yep. So pretty cool. All right. Well, that's going to do it for our season preview episode 218. You can, of course, check out our website at torturecast.com. Follow us collectively at torturecast. Follow myself at ChadK21. Willie at Willie Dills, Eric at Two Out Hits. You can check out our live stream like we're doing right now every Monday around 12:15 Pacific. So we have a few things to pimp, and I know that Willie's on board today. He's got a lot. In fact, I'm doing a new show with him, Hard Edition Podcast. In fact, we're recording later tonight. I got to say, I've had a lot of fun recording with him and Bryce and Ty, the aforementioned Astros fan. So I really encourage you guys to check that out. And I know he's got other stuff going on, too. He's going to be streaming right after this. He's got his MGA. So why don't you go ahead and pimp those things?
Sure. So, yeah, I'll be streaming the new Hearthstone expansions out. So twitch.tv/WillieDills, where you can catch me doing that. There will be a lot of streams in April, it looks like, just because it seems my schedule's opened up quite a bit because I was actually working a contract job for a little while there, and that is ended. So unless something else comes along, I'm basically going to be streaming every day. and then also, of course, yeah, like Chad mentioned, if you like our opinions on random other shit, which sometimes we talk about here on TortureCast, the Hard Edition Podcast is us talking about basically anything and everything. So you can check that out. It's still not, I believe, on iTunes, which I'm trying to figure out why. But you can find it pretty much anywhere else you can find podcasts.
Eric, anything going on with you?
Yeah, I'll pimp. We have a Facebook group, Giants Chatter. Search Giants Chatter on Facebook. It's been, like Chad mentioned, a good collection of hardcore Giants fans. And it's not fluff and puff, and it's not anything but Giants baseball. And I'm going to be a guest on the Splash Hits podcast next week. I'll get a time frame out for you when it comes. It is the UK's only San Francisco Giants podcast. So that'll be fun to talk to guys across the pond, get a little perspective. I know we have listeners overseas, so that'll be good for, you know, them to tune in to Splash Hits pod, and I'll get more information for that out. you know, I think next week we're I know we're recording sometime next week. I just don't know if it'll be before or after our next show here.
Cool. All right. Very cool. Well, that's going to do it for episode 218. We'll see you next Monday around 12:15 Pacific for our first regular season podcast of the year. Can't wait for that. We hope to come to you weekly and hopefully we'll be attending some games, getting interviews and all sorts of good stuff. So thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll see you next week. Boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at TortureCast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying we'll see you next time.